Behind the Arc. A look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc. Hear about the week's biggest storylines. From blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in-depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc. Here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
Welcome into the Behind the Arc podcast. My name is Joel Silverberg. Thank you so much for checking out this edition of Behind the Arc. I know we haven't had a whole lot of basketball to really talk about, but there has been some basketball news, and we're continuing to try to bring you as much entertaining coverage that we can on college hoops. You've heard in recent weeks interviews that we've had with former Davidson guard Jason Richards when Westwood One was allowing the Sports Animal to broadcast the Davidson-Gonzaga game from back in 2008. We had Jason Richards on to talk about that great game and that great tournament run for the Wildcats. You heard from Lamar Butler last week, the former George Mason guard who helped lead the Patriots to the Final Four when we aired the rebroadcast of George Mason's Elite Eight win over UConn. So we have been really working hard to bring you as much entertaining coverage of college basketball as we can. Thank you so much for checking out the podcast, the Behind the Arc podcast, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, on our website, 991thesportsanimal.com, or on the Sports Radio WNML app, powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all. Thank you so much for taking the time to check out the podcast. Today, I'm really excited. You will hear from Sacred Heart head coach Anthony Latina to talk about new Tennessee commitment, EJ Anasicki, who is a grad transfer from Sacred Heart. And so Anasicki, the younger brother of former Lady Vol Nikki Anasicki, coming to Tennessee, made that announcement last Friday. I had the chance to talk to Anthony Latina. You can check out my blog for some of that material on 991thesportsanimal.com, but you will hear that full interview on this podcast. So be sure to check that out in the next segment. But that is the big news that we're talking about right now with Tennessee basketball. EJ Anasicki announcing his commitment to Tennessee and choosing the Vols over schools like Gonzaga, Louisville, Wake Forest, and Boston College were in the mix. Georgetown was in the mix. So he had named seven finalists. Tennessee was one of them, and ends up choosing Tennessee over some pretty big-time schools. I mean, Gonzaga was a team that was expected to be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament this year, and they're already being projected as a way too early top five, top three team for next season. And so the fact that Gonzaga was looking at somebody like EJ Anasicki should really tell you how valuable he was seen across the country in college basketball. He was top 10 in the nation in rebounding, top 10 in offensive rebounding, and was averaging a double-double throughout the course of the season for Sacred Heart, over 15 points, over 11 boards per game. He's 6'6", 245 pounds. He was 215 when he arrived at Sacred Heart University 3 years ago, and just a great get, I think, for Tennessee. And what's really impressive is that he originally chose Sacred Heart over schools like Niagara, Coppin State, Vermont. I mean, these were essentially the schools that were after him, and he wasn't getting any major offers out of high school, went to prep school for a year, still wasn't getting the big-time offers. And so despite all of that, ends up at a mid-major school like Sacred Heart. And that really should show you something about what he has done to develop his game over the last 3 years, to go from choosing Sacred Heart over Coppin State and Niagara to choosing Tennessee over Gonzaga, Louisville, and Georgetown. There is a massive jump here for EJ Anasicki's game, and you will hear his coach, Anthony Latina, talk about why that was the case, why he was able to develop his game so well over the last three seasons at Sacred Heart. Now, Sacred Heart in the Northeast Conference, they ended up losing in the semifinals of their conference tournament to St. Francis. St. Francis then lost to Robert Morris, which would have received the league's automatic bid had we played an NCAA tournament this season. But instead, season ended in the semifinals for Sacred Heart. EJ Anasicki elected to transfer, and he is a graduate transfer, so he is eligible immediately for Tennessee. So you look at what that does for Tennessee's roster now, especially in the front court. You have John Fulkerson and Eve Pond set to return this season, and then EJ Anasicki comes into the mix, and joining him there are returning players Olivier Kumwa and Drew Pember. So you have some numbers now in the front court, and after Fulkerson and Pons, you didn't have a ton of quality depth. You have Kumwa still trying to learn the game. Pember was not at 100% entirely. So for Tennessee, having somebody that has seen significant game experience, and Anisiki appeared in all 33 games this year for Sacred Heart, and averaged over 31 minutes per game throughout the course of the season. So somebody that is used to playing a lot of minutes, and now I would expect to see him come off the bench just because of the experience that Fulkerson and Pons bring back. But having that depth is going to be so key for Tennessee, because it was very difficult for Tennessee to have that last season. I think in the backcourt, you have to get very excited about Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer joining the mix with guys like Santiago Vescovi and Josiah Jordan James. So the backcourt looks really good. And then Victor Bailey Jr., the transfer from Oregon, is now eligible after sitting out a year. So Tennessee, it feels kind of crowded at the same time, but Tennessee has to like its talent. And that's why the Vols are being projected as a top 15 team by several outlets over the last couple of weeks in way too early top 25 polls. And it's because Tennessee is returning a lot of talent. They showed some fight towards the end of the season, and you're losing Jordan Bowden. Lamonte Turner was gone in December, and ultimately, you figure, okay, Jalen Johnson leaves, and now that makes room for EJ Anisiki to come in, but it helps the front court out so much. And there isn't a ton of height. You're still outside of John Fulkerson. You don't have anybody that just really stands tall over everybody. You have Kumwa that's about 6'7", 6'8", and then you have Pember that's really tall. But again, you're talking about guys that are a little more lanky and didn't see a ton of minutes and are still trying to figure out the Rick Barnes system. So it's another year for those guys, while also having somebody come in that is used to playing and has some family ties too, which is nice. EJ Anisiki said that he had dreamed of becoming a Vol and had always wanted to play for Tennessee. It helps that his sister played here, but for EJ to be able to join Tennessee and play immediately, I think is a huge boost to the Volunteers front court. Really good news for Rick Barnes and his team. Had the chance to watch EJ play during the Northeastern Conference tournament earlier in March. And I've got to say, look, he's a big body, but he's tough to move. He's physical. He doesn't get bumped around a whole lot. It's tough to move him off the block. You can pass the ball to him in the post, and he can dish it out to the perimeter. He actually is a pretty good passer, and that's something that I think that Tennessee struggled with early on last season, of being able to run that inside-out offense that Rick Barnes likes to run so much. And that's why you saw at times Tennessee settling for threes or forcing bad shots in the interior. And if Tennessee was able to hit the entry pass, you saw a lot of turnovers. You saw a lot of bad passes. You saw a lot of bad shots. I think somebody like EJ Anisiki really helps you there. Now, Tennessee got better in those areas when you have the athleticism that Eve Pons does, when you have the progression that John Fulkerson went through, plus John Fulkerson being so reliable as a scorer inside, that really helps Tennessee a lot too. But seeing somebody like EJ Anisiki, where, you know, hey, we can kind of run the offense and incorporate him more if he's coming off the bench, and know that we're probably not going to commit turnovers, we're probably not going to be forcing ourselves into bad shots, I think that's really good for Tennessee, because that is something that Tennessee didn't do a great job of at times, especially even when Lamonte Turner was still in the lineup, being able to pass the ball inside. And that was something that Grant Williams did so well the year before. Grant Williams leaves. Now suddenly trying to pass the ball on the inside is a little bit more of a circus than it was towards the end of the season. But having somebody like Anisiki come in, I think really gives Tennessee a lot of insurance there, and can also draw a lot of attention inside just because of his ability to make shots and his ability to score and also his ability to pass. And he does a good job at finding the open man too. So if Tennessee becomes a better three-point shooting team, which this past season they were not, but if Vescovi gets more consistent, we've seen how good and how lethal he can be from behind the arc. If he's able to get open on the perimeter because somebody's creeping inside to guard Anisiki, that's another weapon that Tennessee might have at its disposal when the season comes back around. He hustles back in transition on defense. He gets straight up to contest shots, so he doesn't foul a lot, but he does play physical going for rebounds, and that's where he's more likely to get himself into foul trouble. He doesn't close off the perimeter super well, and being in that 6-6 spot, there are going to be a lot of situations where he's probably not playing the 5. He may have to play the 4 or the 3, depending on how big of a lineup Tennessee wants to go with and what sort of foul trouble Tennessee's in. And so playing against teams that like to go 5 out against the Volunteers, he's going to have to be able to close off the perimeter a little bit better, but he does a really good job at being physical, at getting physical to go on the boards and grab rebounds, and just is very relentless in doing that. It's odd. He's deceptively looks like he's out of shape, but he's actually a gym rat. He really does a great job at keeping himself in good shape. Now, he doesn't have a lot of, you know, doesn't have a lot of speed for his size. Again, 6'6", 245 pounds. That's kind of what you'd expect. And his physical play can get him into a little bit of foul trouble. But for the most part, I think you really have to like what Tennessee's getting out of EJ Anasicki. And at the very least, it's just added depth. And you'll hear this from Latina, but he suspects that Anasicki will come off the bench for Tennessee as well, but still spoke very highly of him and what he can do and what he can contribute to a program. And Latina said he thinks that Anasicki can be a starting player on a top 25 team, and he'll have the opportunity to be on a top 25 team. And Tennessee will likely be ranked when the season starts in November, assuming it starts on time. And I think for Tennessee, it's more bodies, and this is the type of program that Tennessee is right now, where you're getting more guys to stay into their upper class years. You land a big recruiting class here or there. You get instant impact and some long-term development out of some of the guys that you build your depth around, and every other year, at the minimum, you're going to have a team that is going to be expected to compete at a very high level. And right now, Tennessee, not Florida, Tennessee is being talked about as the biggest challenger to Kentucky in the SEC for the 2020-21 season. So coming up next, you will hear from EJ Anasicki's former college head coach, Anthony Latina, the head basketball coach at Sacred Heart University. Coached Anasicki for the first 3 years of his college career, recruited him to Sacred Heart. Nobody knows Anasicki's game better than Anthony Latina. You will hear that coming up next right here on the Behind the Arc podcast. I appreciate you checking out the Behind the Arc podcast. Last week, I had the opportunity to catch up with Anthony Latina, the head basketball coach at Sacred Heart University, to talk about EJ Anasicki. I want to go back to EJ's recruitment. How did you discover him? What was the recruitment process like? And what stood out to you the most about him?
Well, our assistant coach, Kyle Steiner, was the first one to see him, see EJ play AAU with an AAU team called The Firm, and we really liked him, and when he saw him in the spring, and then when we had our recruiting meetings, he brought him up, and so he liked his energy, he liked his tenacity, his motor, and his ability to go after the ball. So we, Kyle did a lot of legwork, and a lot of schools were involved. He was probably one of the more recruited players that we've ever got involved with in terms of number of schools, but so that's kind of how it started. I saw him play that summer and fell in love with him. I had already seen him on tape. He was very good, and he visited us unofficially in August with his brother, O.D., who was a well-known name in the Northeast. He was led the country in rebounding at Siena two straight years, and I thought that it was a good match right from the get-go, personality-wise, both our coaching staff with E.J., and with OD, who he was really leaning on. So it was, you know, a pretty typical recruiting process. Like I said, he had a lot of really good schools recruiting him, mostly our level, but a lot of options. And he ended up going to St. Thomas More Prep School in the fall to do a postgraduate year, which was a prep school that we happened to have three other players already from their program. So we had a relationship with that coach. That further kind of moved the process along, and we just worked at it, and it was a good fit, and EJ thought it was a good fit, and we were very fortunate to get a commitment early that fall.
You mentioned a lot of the schools that you were kind of competing with in the recruiting battle were a lot towards Sacred Heart's level. How did the progression take place for him to suddenly, 3 years later, he's choosing Tennessee over schools like Gonzaga and Louisville? How did that happen while he was at Sacred Heart?
Well, I think one is, EJ is an elite worker, elite. Probably, I've been coaching, now this is my, just finished my 25th year of coaching as a head coach and as an assistant. Probably in my 25 years of coaching college basketball, probably the hardest worker I've ever coached in terms of the things that EJ is willing to sacrifice to be a great player. He's the type of kid who's always in the gym. If we have a 7 o'clock lift, which we did all summer, he'd be in the gym by 5:45, 5:50 in the full basketball workout before the lift. He really lived in the gym, and you know, he was a kid that was willing to sacrifice things that most kids don't, like going to bed early, you know, really having a disciplined lifestyle and a disciplined kind of view of how to become the best player can be. So he wanted to trim down from his sophomore year to his junior year, so he really changed his diet and got his body fat way down. And so he was an elite worker. You know, we like to think that we gave him a very good platform to showcase his talents, but EJ deserves the lion's share of the credit for just being such a hard worker and, you know, all the success that he has had with us and will have going forward. You know, he made that happen.
Talking to Anthony Latina, the head coach at Sacred Heart University. You've been at Sacred Heart for a long time, about a decade and a half, and you've said that EJ, among the hardest workers that you've ever had there. What has he meant to the Sacred Heart University basketball program?
You know, EJ, we've had other great players. We've had player of the year guys. The thing that really separated EJ, which is probably the hardest part of losing him, was he was just such a wonderful, wonderful person, such a high character kid. I mean, he's just the type of person that if you have children, you hope they turn out like him. He really was a focused kid. He worked hard. He really believed in being part of the community. And I think the fans of Tennessee are getting a super, super special kid. We've had players as good as him, but I don't know if I've ever had a combination of a player that's this talented, with this type of work ethic, with this type of character. So I think you're getting, you know, we always talk about trying to be a 1%er, or being 1% of what you do. And EJ really tried to do that in every aspect of his life. So he's so special. I think that was one of the hardest things about losing him was not what a great player he was. Obviously he was, but those other things that he brought to the table for our program, for our athletic department, for our university. I think Tennessee fans will be very pleased with the type of how he represents them both on and off the court at the highest level. So, you know, he's just a special kid. And I'm really rooting for him and hoping that that he gets everything that he wants, because he's really done so much for us and raising the profile of our program and, you know, having our first 20-win season in school, Division I school history, and putting us on the cusp of going to the NCAA tournament. He's really done a lot of great things. And at a small Catholic school like Sacred Heart, our administration really, obviously we want to win just as much as anybody, but there's a real value put on those other things that he did. And so I think from that standpoint, all the way from our president to our upper administration, senior administration, to our athletic director, there was such a great appreciation for how he represented us, you know, our university and our program. So he was very special for us, and we're going to miss him a ton. But we're really appreciative of everything he's done for us, and I will be rooting for EJ and Asiki in Tennessee every game they play, except for maybe when hopefully we play Tennessee in the NCAA tournament.
What's his personality like? Is he a big media guy? Does he enjoy talking to the press?
You know, EJ, you know, he's really, you know, you talked about his development as a player, and it's been tremendous. You know, he went from being a freshman that played very little, partially because he was playing behind some very good seniors, to being the best player in the league, you know, certainly a top two or three player in the league this year, and would have been the best player in our league. I think his growth in terms of how he articulates himself and his ability to communicate has grown in that regard as well. You'll find him to be very engaging. He's not a typical kid where he kind of seeks out the social media limelight and things of that nature. That's never been a big part of EJ's, you know, personality, but he's really grown and become much more comfortable talking to the media. And, you know, you're going to see a really genuinely good, soft-spoken young man who is becoming, you know, more and more comfortable in his own skin and really he's as likable a kid as you're going to have. And he's also a rare breeding where he's a little Jekyll and Hyde in that on the court he's just a complete, and I say this affectionately, he is a complete animal in terms of how he goes after the ball and how he's physical he is. But off the court, he's as gentle a giant as you're going to have. So I think you got a really good player. I saw one scouting report, which I couldn't agree with more. I think that he can be a starter on a top 25 team, which I know that's what little I know about the Tennessee program from afar. That's what they they want to be a Final Four contender type team, and I think he has the ability and the character to be that a piece of the puzzle on a really good team. So I think you'll be very excited about this, about him and all those things, and you'll see it on the court and off the court in a lot of ways.
Talking to Sacred Heart basketball coach Anthony Latina, you kind of mentioned that work ethic and that animal. How would you describe his motor on the court?
Well, that's probably his greatest skill. Is he is just relentless. He is physical. He never stops. I mean, he plays not many plays, but he'll play to exhaustion. And that is always, even before he developed into this great player, that was something even in the recruiting process when we were watching him. He was a little raw, a little rough around the edges, and not super polished, but boy, he just kept going after the ball, after the ball. That was something that was just kind of a skill that he either developed or was born with, because he was just always doing that at a very high level before he even polished his game, his offensive game up as he developed. So, he's just playing with that type of energy and that type of effort. I think it's a skill, because it's something he just works on every day. And, the fans won't be able to see this, but the coaching staff will certainly see a guy that will practice as hard as he can every day. And obviously fans only see points and rebounds and statistics, but I think he'll help the program above that by just raising the level of competitiveness in practice. He'll bring it every day.
What are the other on-court basketball things that he does really well? How would you evaluate his game as to what his biggest strengths are?
Well, rebounding is his biggest strength. That's partially because of his motor, his physicality, and his desire. He will rebound the ball. I think he had 18 double-doubles this year, which was, I know it was top 10. It might have been top 5 in the country, double-doubles. He will get rebounds. He will rebound on both ends. I think he was top 5 in the country in offensive rebounds. But he'll go after every rebound, and he'll get points just by accident, just by going after the ball. He can also, what he's really developed is, and this is a testament to his hard work, he's become a pretty reliable catch-and-shoot three-point shooter. So in pick-and-roll situations, he can pick and pop. He can also roll and finish some plays. So he will give, I believe, Tennessee the ability to stress the floor a little bit. He can't play off him. He will make some threes. So his perimeter game, it's something that I know he has a strong desire to improve on, which has been improving for us. He played a little bit more on the perimeter for us this year, but he's become a reliable catch-and-shoot three-point shooter. You can throw him the ball in the block, and he can get to the free throw line. He does a very good job of drawing fouls. He makes free throws at a high level. But he will really rebound the ball. I think if the minutes are there, I would be very surprised if you don't see him be one of the better rebounders, certainly on the team, if not in the SEC.
Talking to Anthony Latina, Sacred Heart basketball coach, about Sacred Heart grad transfer EJ Anasicki coming to Tennessee. Coach, is there anything about his game that you would want to see him improve upon getting ready for SEC basketball?
Well, I think just continue to improve his percentage from three is definitely one. I think also his game off the dribble, if people are running him off the line, to be able to drive the ball with a little more efficiency. I think that's an area where he can improve, because I think he will, because I know he's going to work and I know he's going to be a gym. I think his three-point shooting will be a weapon. And generally, when you're a high-percentage three-point shooter, the scouting report is to run you off the line. So when they do that, to really be able to make plays off the dribble, and I don't mean just scoring, but where he can make a one or two dribbles and make the extra pass, that's something where he really started improving on that. And I think as that gets better, with the Tennessee team again, which I'm not completely familiar with, but I know that they had a good year and their expectations are very high. So we're going to be playing with a lot of other good players. So that, if they take away his catch and shoot three on the perimeter to find someone open and really get them open shots, and also the same thing in the post, because I think he is a handful down low. So to be able to, if he draws a double team, to find an open teammate with a better assist to turnover ratio, I think if he does that, I mean, he will he will really, really help on the offensive end. In a lot of ways. I still think he'll be able to rebound and help the defense, but he can really, you know, just help the offensive position even more if that improves. But he's a worker. I would never doubt him. I would never doubt a player with EJ's work ethic. So I think the sky is the limit for him. I think he could be a special player at Tennessee, you know, given the right opportunity and maybe even beyond. He comes from a top-notch family, and obviously Tennessee fans certainly have been around and familiar with his sister, who was on some legendary Tennessee teams. But, you know, but the whole family is just, you know, he's the youngest of eight. His mom is just as top-notch as they come. He's got a great family support, great family structure. And there's a reason why, you know, if you look at their family, why they've been so successful. I think it, you know, comes from a great, great mom. And you know, EJ has had great role models, whether it's his sister who played at Tennessee, whether it's OD, or the other, you know, brothers and sisters that he had that have just really been so successful. So he's been very blessed. I think EJ knows that. I know he's a young man who's very appreciative and grateful for things he has. And I tell you, I can't be more proud of him. It's going to be tough for us to replace him. And it'll probably take us some time as a program to replace his production. But you know, he's done a lot for us. So I can't tell you enough how much, you know, how thankful we are for having the 3 years that we did, and how appreciative we are for everything he's done for us, our program. And, you know, you'll be hard-pressed to find bigger EJ fans than us. So I think that you're getting special kids. And I know everybody says that, and, but really and truly, in my 25 years of coaching, I haven't come across too many kids like him.
Anthony Latino, the head coach at Sacred Heart University. Coach, you've been more than generous with your time. Thank you so much. I know it's bittersweet for Sacred Heart fans and for you as well and for your staff, but thank you so much for taking the time to talk about EJ. I think Tennessee fans are very excited about having him. Best of luck to Sacred Heart next season. I know you all came pretty close. It was a nice run, the NEC tournament this past year, as you all continue to build that program up in the time that you've been there. So best of luck to Sacred Heart, and thank you again so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
That's my conversation with Anthony Latina, the head men's basketball coach at Sacred Heart University. Again, EJ Anasicki, Tennessee's newest grad transfer, coming to Knoxville for the 2020 season, immediately eligible, averaging a double-double last season for the Sacred Heart Pioneers. Thank you so much for checking out the Behind the Arc podcast. Again, everybody, stay healthy and stay safe out there. Wash your hands. Do what you have to do to take care of yourself. And hopefully, we'll have sports back here very, very soon, and that we have a college basketball season to lead up to when November rolls around again. Thank you so much for checking out the Behind the Arc podcast. Again, you can check it out on Apple Podcasts. Rate, review, and subscribe. Would certainly appreciate some more 5-star ratings. And we'll do it again next week. I'm at Joel Silverberg on Twitter if you have a question or comment for the podcast. And at Sports Radio WNML 99.1 thesportsanimal.com for all great sports content revolving around college hoops, Tennessee football, the NFL, and more, as we've got more and more coverage coming up, such as the NFL draft. A lot of events still happening as of now, so be sure to check that out. Thank you so much for listening to the Behind the Arc podcast.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on The Sports Animal.